Hey everybody, welcome back to the Shallow Dive. I'm Megan.
I'm Chessie.
And we're back after a small summer hiatus, and we're going to catch you guys up on what we're doing. So Chessie, I saw that you saw a specific movie the other night. I would like to hear about that, first of all.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so last night I went to see Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. First of all, before I even talk about the movie, like that was the worst movie going experience I've had in a long time.
Oh no.
Which just like makes me hate people.
Right.
Like, okay. I mean, I guess it's rated PG-13, so mm-hmm. I should have expected that there were going to be younger people there, like, obviously.
Sure.
And B, like, weekend, opening weekend, whatever. So, I mean, I guess I should have expected it, but, like, holy shit, it was terrible. Josh was pissed, like, the entire time, and I pretty much was, too, which, like, took away from me watching the movie, which was annoying, but, like, people were just, like, outwardly, like, having conversations, people were on their phone. The people next to us were legit on their phones the entire time, and I'm, like, I don't understand what's so important in your life.
What is so important that you decided that that's what you're going to do while you're in here, you know? Like, what is so important? That makes no sense.
So, yeah, I just kept looking over at Josh, and he would have, like, the most annoyed look on his face. I'm like, oh, God. Josh is annoyed.
Yeah, and because it takes a lot to bother him, you know?
Yeah, so, like, at one point, I was like, and they were also talking. They were, like, teenagers, the people next to us, and I was like, can you please be quiet? Thank you. And they're like, we weren't even talking.
Right.
And so then, of course, I, like, get nervous that they're gonna, like, confront me. Like, well, afterwards, yeah. I'm like, oh, God, what have I done?
Oh, my gosh, I know. That is so distracting and, like, so nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But how was the actual movie? Could you concentrate at all on the actual movie?
I mean, mildly. So I did like it. Of course, like, when you go into something, like, with so much, like, love for the source material, you're gonna have nitpicks, which, yeah. I mean, I do have small nitpicks, but, like, overall, I thought it was really good. It's good for, like, younger people who are, like, interested in horror, like, younger teenagers. Like, I think that would be a good movie to, like, get them interested in scary movies. I think the character work, like, bringing the illustrations to life, like, obviously that's going to be freaking hard because those are iconic illustrations, and I think they did a mostly great job with that. So, yeah, like, overall, I was really pleased. I don't know if I would be like, yes, I need to, like, watch this again, type of thing. But I did enjoy it. It was a good movie. I think they did the books proud. Like, I wasn't even sure, like, how they were going to, like, tie in all the stories. Because, you know, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark is a book of short stories.
Right, like, standalone stories that are combined. Yeah, so...
Right. So anytime you make a movie of, like, short stories, I'm like, well, how are they going to make this into, like, a cohesive film?
Right.
So I do think, like, the tie-in story, like, the story that tied them all together, like, I think that was really good. So yeah, all in all, like, I enjoyed it. I wasn't too let down with it. So that's good.
That is good. I hate that you had a bad experience because... I catch myself even sometimes, and I think the difference in being that rude in public and not being that rude in public is even if you start a behavior like you're on your phone or, like, super distracted because, like, you have to meet a deadline or whatever, you've gone to the movies and nothing in your life, unless there's an emergency in which you need to leave the theater, should be as important as focusing on what you paid for,
right.
Focusing on that other people paid to be there. So shut the fuck up, have that conversation in the hallway, come back to the movie and, you know, just be quiet. You can even, like, turn your phone to the very lightest, you know, like, the brightness and text the person if you have to. But, like, just, it's so distracting, all the lights on phones and people talking. And I know that there's been movies that I have been so antsy in because I went with, like, my family and the kids wanted to see something and I was just overwhelmed, like, anxiety wise. But I tried my best to just close my eyes or be quiet or not be so fidgety because it's super distracting for other people. And that pisses me off that, you know, movies, the movie ticket is not expensive. Just all the bullshit that you get at the movies, mm-hmm. if you want a snack and all that. And you're just like, I spent all this money to be here and they're fully doing their taxes over there or whatever. Like, what are you doing? So that sucks. I hate that.
And like, I am not someone who's like, so uptight that like if people, you know, are commenting on the movie to the person right. next to them, like I'm not gonna get really pissed about that as long as they're like respectful about it, you know what right. I mean? These kids were just like straight up freaking rude with like no awareness or like caring of the people around them, and I'm just like so annoyed. Josh just walked through the living room making a really, I guess, annoyed face. So yes. he knows what I'm talking about.
You've brought up a wound that has not healed.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah. He's like, this is why I don't like going to the movies. I'm like, well, calm down, because now right. I feel like I'm going to have to like convince him to go
right.
the next time.
Calm down. Like, yeah. That's enough. But it does suck that when he does go, there might be more than one occasion where he's like, this is why I don't do this, you know. Right. That's what sucks, because even if I hype myself up to doing something I know I've previously not liked and I go and it's an absolute shit show, I'm like, why am I here? It makes you not want to try anymore. So yeah, I think visually the ads for it and stuff look very cool. So I'm glad that you got to see it in motion, you know, even if it's like not exact, or you know, you could tell that they did their best with that material.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. It's like when you were saying, you know, how do you tie these stories in? I know it's a little different, but the Lore podcast that Aaron Mankey has did a couple of seasons on Amazon Prime as a television show. Mm-hmm. And it's all, you know, separate stories. But the way they did it, because it wasn't a movie, I liked how they did it in that they had like a little excerpt of a weird story that was unrelated to what he'd covered in the podcast. Then they'd go into that story and he narrated the first season. The second season, I guess he did not, but he went onto Twitter and said, you guys complained that I narrated and tied the story, you know, tied the situation together. And then the second season I didn't narrate and you guys complained that there was no narration. So like the show got canceled, I think, anyway, but it was just like, you can't please everybody, but I think that if you
people
try your
people are
hardest,
never happy.
They're not. There's always going to be somebody that's mad about whatever you're doing. So I guess that's just part of it.
Yeah.
Oh, I lost the headphone. Uh-oh. And we're back. I flicked it out of my ear. Have you done anything else this summer? What have you been doing? Where have you been going?
Well, I feel like it's been so long that we've recorded. I'm like, what have I done?
I know.
I feel like I've been all over the dang place. I don't know. I went to Chattanooga with my family, which I had never been to Chattanooga before, and I liked that quite a bit. We spent a lot of time in the mountains, so I'm like, yes, I'm a mountain person.
I've never been to the mountains, and I think I would enjoy it.
Oh, my gosh. It's as far as, like, I don't know. I really like just, you know, like looking at the scenery and like taking time and just being like, wow, this is so beautiful. Like, I'm so lucky to like be seeing this. And like, I feel like whenever I go to the mountains, I definitely like get that vibe.
Yeah. And it gives you a little bit of a break from your real life, which is something I think that you don't realize you need until you get it. And then you're like, how do I go back to my normal life after doing this? That's funny. That's what, I mean, I went to the beach this summer. And I wasn't sure how I would enjoy that necessarily, but I did very much. It wasn't like that hot. I know that sounds insane. I mean, it was very hot, but because we were next to the ocean the entire time, the breeze off the ocean made things not hot. There was one day out of 6 days where I even saw any like bugs, because I'm not a fan of shit flying around my face constantly and it just being that sweaty hot like we have here in Indiana.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh my God, it's going to be so bad. And it really was. I was, yeah, the gratitude that comes with like, I'm so excited to get to see this, and looking out at the ocean and realizing that we are nothing, we are so small, and this monstrous thing that literally roars all the time can just, you know, come in, and it does major damage, but it's also a beautiful natural thing. So I was glad that I took a week. I did nothing that week. I did nothing. I walked to the beach. My condo was on the beach. I walked to the beach and to the pool, and then I ate food, and then I slept, and then I walked back to the beach. I read two books, but then I just I did nothing, and it was so nice to not have to be like, I have to get the laundry done, I have to get the grocery shopping done, I have, you know, I have to do all these mundane things. I was so grateful. I just wore a bathing suit the entire time. I overpacked like you would not believe. I think I took 14 outfits. I was gone for 6 days. Like, who was wearing all these outfits is what I want to know.
I mean, I have that same issue, so no judgment.
Yeah, like you pack and you go, well, I might need this. Well, I might, okay, but I need those shoes. But like those shoes, it's not that I am by no means a fashion person. If you look at any of my life, you will know that. But I was just like, well, what if I need these sandals? But okay, I'm going to take these pair of tennis shoes. Like, where was I wearing tennis shoes to? On the beach. Like, what was I doing? I don't know.
Just in case, you know?
I don't know.
If you need to run away from something.
I needed to take a jog. I don't know. But yeah, I needed that more than I realized. And now I'm already plotting to go back. You know, I'm ready. I'm ready to go back. I don't miss a 10-hour drive, but you know.
No. I mean, that's my life, though, is like, looking forward to the next vacation. Yes. So.
And you've done that for a while because you are a traveler. So
yes,
that's awesome.
Which in less than 2 weeks, I will be going on a cruise. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so ready.
Oh yeah. Where are you going this time?
It's the Caribbean, but we're going to flying into Miami and the boat leaves from there. And then we're going to Puerto Rico, Haiti, and St. Martin.
Oh, wow. That'd be awesome.
So, yeah. I've never really done, like, a tropical type of vacation, so we'll see how it goes. I'm going to have to face some fears because we are doing, like, a scuba situation, which it's not, like, actually scuba. You do go, like, deep into the water, but you're not actually scuba-ing. You're wearing, like, what looks like an old-time dive helmet.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah. but you can like breathe and it like keeps your face completely dry. Like you can wear your glasses, which when I read that, I was like, perfect.
Right.
I can wear my glasses. This is made for me.
Yes.
But I've never really been in the ocean. Like I've put my feet in.
Sure.
But like I've never submerged myself.
No.
It's like I want to, but I'm also scared. So we'll see how I do.
Yeah. I wish you the best of luck because I mean, I got into the ocean, but where we were, the tide was, there were rip tides pretty bad. And so, you know, they have on the beach, they have the flags indicating how bad the water is. And the entire time I was there, there was a red flag. The first day there was a double red flag. And I'm not a good swimmer. Even the best of swimmers don't, you know, obviously can't beat a current. You just can't. So I and my son, we got in the water when it was more calm, but once you got past where the waves were breaking, I guess it was fine, but my ass was not about to go that far. Like, I'm not going to risk my life for a little adventure. I'm just such a nerd and such a safe player that I was like, I got in, but then I just like hauled my ass back out. So I don't know how I would feel. I feel very overwhelmed and panicked when my head's underwater. When I was a kid, I could swim okay. But as I got older, after I got a ton of like ear infections from water being in my ears, my equilibrium's just too bad. So I think that sounds fun. You know, they have the old timey diving helmet, just sounds fun in general. So I think you'll be fine. And if you're not, you know, you can just say, okay, I've tried this. I'm going back. Like I got to get out of here. This is not right for me. So that's good.
Yeah. I mean, that's willing to try it. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see how this plays out.
When we're in, I think, St. Martin, we're going parasailing. So that's where, you know, they have, like, you're off the back of a boat and you're whatever. Which I think sounds great. Like, I'm totally excited to do that. And, like, Josh is a little bit more skeptical of that. So it's just funny how we have, like, opposite fears.
Right.
Mine is, like, under the ocean. His is, like, heights. So,
Mine is heights, but I don't know that parasailing would – I was going to try it, but then I was like – I don't know. I didn't want to spend the money on it. And I didn't want to get up there and fully panic. Like, I don't know. I've got so many fears. I live my life in fear, which kind of sucks because that means I don't try anything. But my friend Jocelyn, who I went with, she was talking about, because they go every year to Panama City Beach. And she's like, when she was little, they would do them, like she and another family would go. And the little girl in the family would go with Jocelyn parasailing. And they went side by side a couple of times, and the guy will like take you up and they can like dip you where you touch the water and go back up. Mm-hmm. And they like did that and it was fine. Did that and it was fine. She said the last time they like did them tandem where the girl was sitting in front of Jocelyn because Jocelyn was taller. And they went to like dip them in the water. And the girl was like sinking. She had to like put her head all the way up and was starting to panic like where they dipped her because Jocelyn was still sort of out of the water, but they dipped them too far. And that girl was like going under the water. And so they, that was not a good experience, but it was just like, oh, that would probably happen to me. I'd be like, help, help. I'm going slowly.
I'm going under.
I'm going under. Help. Yeah. So I was like, but it's cool to watch that because there was a lot of people in front of the condo that, that did that. That was neat to watch. And they had this banana boat thing where these people would just like sit on top of it, like, and had like a little, almost like a saddle, you know, they'd have the little thing. And this guy in a jet ski would fly by and like bounce the living fuck out of these people. And it was so funny to watch because they were like hanging on for dear life. I was dying.
That Everybody is funny.
Oh my God. It was so much fun to watch because he was hauling serious ass and they were just bouncing all over the place. So that was more entertaining for me.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So let's get into a quick topic today since we're doing this summer catch up. We don't have a lot, I mean, because we're just easing back into this. We've had a few weeks off. We've done things. We've traveled. So one topic that we didn't get to the last time was the 90s shows that ended way worse than I remembered or differently than I remembered or maybe the same. But I, after you think about something, you're like, okay, that's fucked up. Like that's weird. So I'm going to talk about them. Bring them up, see what you think, see if you remember any of these and how they ended. Okay, so you remember the show Dinosaurs?
I knew that? This was going to be like the first one.
Yes, okay. So that's
I
like
knew
the,
it.
You okay, I did not recall how it ended. I had no recollection of how it ended. I watched the show. I had all the McDonald's toys. I had the little baby that had not the mama and he had a little frying pan and if you moved his arm, he would hit Earl in the head. Okay, so the plot of Dinosaurs, for those who do not know, it was from 91 to 94. So if you weren't, you know, around then, you weren't a kid then, you probably won't remember this. But it is culturally iconic, so you know
what
dinosaurs are. It's set in, like, I don't know, 6 million BC or some BS in Pangaea. The show centers on the Sinclair family, a family of dinosaurs, which included Earl and Fran Sinclair and their three children. So the teenage son that wore the, Letterman jacket, that's Robbie. There was Charlene, the daughter, and the infant was just named Baby Sinclair. The mother-in-law, which was Fran's mother, was Ethel. Do you remember the grandma, Ethel?
Not really.
Okay, so look these up because we'll post a picture of this family because Ethel was funny looking. But Ethel... We'll get to that. Okay. Earl's job in this show was to push over trees for the We Say So Corporation. And he worked with his friend Roy Hess, where they worked under the supervision of their boss, Bradley P. Richfield. Character and family names throughout the series referred to petroleum companies and or petroleum products. For example, Ethel, which was spelled like E-T-H-Y-L. Sinclair, Phillips, Hess, BP, and Richfield were all like petroleum, which is so fucked up. Petroleum related. So the show is cute. It's funny. It's just a silly little sitcom. It ran on ABC, I think. But in the final episode entitled Changing Nature, the sitcom ends with the world's plant life being poisoned and then killed, and then the sun is blocked out. Kids got to watch all their favorite characters, many of which were popular toys, like we'd talked about, die a slow death. The final episode was so crazy that TV Guide included a special warning that the episode might disturb younger viewers. Like, this is how dark this went. The final blow of the... This is not funny. It's funny because it's so fucking insane. The final blow was the last line. First of all, the Walter Cronkite... type reporter on this show was named Howard Hand Up Me because he's a fucking puppet. He was the newscaster and you only saw the top of him. So hand up me. Okay, you people, who did this? Who made money?
Yeah, I'm like, who approved this?
Who allowed this? You know, some smarky white guy is sitting in a writer's room just fucking chuckling to himself over this stupid shit. Okay, so his last name off, you know, obviously refers to his existence as a hand puppet. He delivers this last solemn line in the final episode. And taking a look at the long-range forecast, continued snow, darkness, and extreme cold. This is Howard, hand up me. Good night. Goodbye. And it just goes black. Like, in the show, in the episode, if you watch it, there's, like, snow coming and everything. It's like the end of the dinosaurs. I was like, who thought that this was okay? They're all, like, boarded up in the house because they're dying. And the planet is no longer, like, sustaining dinosaur life. And so here comes the ice and the darkness, and it wipes them all out. It wasn't a meteor like we had always heard, you know, like, oh, we think that this happened to the dinosaurs. I'm not a scientist. I fucking don't know. But I was like, you mean to tell me that this is like a fairly family-friendly kid show?
That's what's weird about it.
Yeah, that they ended it like that. They could have just ended it like any other way.
It's like that show was a comedy. It was for children. It was very lighthearted. Like, who made that decision to go dark as fuck on the last episode? And then it's like, you know, that's the end of it. So that's what kids remember. Like,
yeah. I'm glad I don't remember it, but I can't be the majority here. I'm sure I was in first grade to fourth grade when that ran. So I was young enough to maybe not have caught that. Or maybe my mom was like, because we got a TV guide. Maybe she saw that. It was like, we're not watching that. Or maybe by chance I didn't see it. But I'm like, I remember it fondly. I remember seeing Earl go to his job and he'd get in like the little construction trailer that was on the site where they were pushing over trees. I didn't understand any of the themes. I didn't understand, like, you know, all these petroleum names, stuff like that. But you just ended it with like ice and snow and darkness and good night, goodbye, whatever. Okay, so that's fucked up.
It's so weird. Yeah, I want to know, like, the behind the scenes decisions on that.
Yeah, who made that call? I'm writing a letter. I'm writing a memo. That's, I don't know. Anyway, so that's one of them. Roseanne, I don't know if you recall.
I do.
Listen, I've talked about this many times. Roseanne's final ending of the original season was awful. Okay, so let's talk about it for a second. Of course, we know the original show, Roseanne. It ran from 1988 to 1997. And the appeal of Roseanne was that it was about, like, middle class, down to earth people in a small town in the Midwest. And in the ninth season, the Connors win the lottery. And that totally fucked up the entire dynamic. Viewers did not respond well to the Connors suddenly becoming rich. So in order to try to fix the damage, at the very end of the show, it was revealed that the entire ninth season was just a book being written by Roseanne after Dan really died of a heart attack. It was a disappointing two-parter series finale. This one was particularly disappointing to me because it was, at the time, one of my favorite shows, and I didn't really mind that they won the lottery. In fact, I find the episode where they win the lottery to be one of the funniest Roseanne episodes I have ever seen. Roseanne is changing her shirt in the bedroom. Jackie runs in and screams like, we've won the lottery. And Roseanne rides Dan, I believe, around the living room like a horse with no shirt on. And it is the funniest. It is the fun. Because Jackie, what is her name? Laurie Metcalf. Mm-hmm. She is a genius. She's a wonderful actress. And she, the more frantic Jackie became and unhinged over the years on that show, the funnier it got. She was just wide-eyed and erratic, and she's running and screaming, and Roseanne is shirtless, just in a bra and pants, I believe riding Dan's back around the horse like Seabiscuit. I was crying laughing. I will never forget that. So I didn't mind that part. I minded that at the very end, if you'll recall, they changed who was gay between Mom and Jackie. Do you remember that?
Yeah, the way things they changed made no sense.
None, for no reason. So they changed that. They said Darlene married Mark and Becky married David in reality. Mm-hmm. And they killed off Dan. They said when Dan had his heart attack, he didn't make it. It was a whole mess. It haunted me to this day. I am almost 35 years old, so it has been years. And I wish they, on the same token, I wish that they would have left it there, because it did stick with me. And I was like, man, that's a bummer how that ended. But if they would have let Roseanne's show die, then we wouldn't have had the mess that we've had recently with the reboot. And then the subsequent changing it to the Conners, which the Conners, I liked the Conners, but Roseanne, unfortunately, is what made that show. You've got this incredible cast of actors, but they are still centered around this one main character. And when she, and they killed her off, and I just, I'm like, just leave it. Let it be how it was. But that, yeah, the ninth season was super fucked up. Because I think Dan ends up like leaving Roseanne and cheating on her with somebody else. That was the whole thing was a mess, but I'm just going to remember seasons 1 through 8 original show and just be what it was, because that's what I'm doing.
I feel like it's just the ending of TV shows in general, like, are always so bad. It's like, even if you have like the best TV show ever, right, like, it's so, I guess it must be really hard to like end and tie up a show, because I don't know, I just try not to let them ruin the series for me, like, right. Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Oh my God. I know, I spent it's because you invest a lot of time, and it's escapism, and it's like, this is this piece of art that I thoroughly enjoy, and I by no means think that I could write or produce or direct a show any better than these people, but I just wonder what
they're thinking. But it's like, sometimes you do feel that
way. Right, but I'm like, have we been watching the same show? Are you too deep into it? Are you too close to it that you can't see how it should have ended? Because yeah, Game of Thrones is a sore spot and always will be, because that was a full fucking mess. But it's stuff like that you're like, I invested so much time to see how X, Y, and Z will play out. And oftentimes none of it plays out at all, even not even the way you wanted, but just at all. You're like, oh, so what happened to this storyline or that storyline? Where did that go? And it's all just a, like, for what, to what end? And that's annoying.
It is.
Roseanne's a big fat racist, so whatever. And I don't mean fat as in size. I mean the amount of racism.
Right.
Yeah.
It just sucks, because I also used to freaking love Roseanne. Like, yes. Literally, I would be like, oh my God, I wish Roseanne was my mom, which is a weird thing to say, but like, whatever.
Right.
But yes, I loved that show. I used to watch it, like the reruns, every morning when I was getting ready. But now it's like hard for me to watch it just because of Roseanne.
Right. It's just hard to, I listen to a lot of podcasts that, you know, there's one podcast I listen to that they do talk about, like, you know, the cancel culture, but also like really in needing to cancel people like Roseanne and, you know, Michael Jackson and, you know, Louis C.K. and those type of people. And it's like hard when, because Michael Jackson is so well known and his music is everywhere, that it's like, I wouldn't listen to new music from this person, but it's hard not to listen to the old stuff. And then it's like, well, now it's hard to listen to the old stuff now knowing what you know. And it's like,
right. It's not the same.
It's not the same. And you know what? My enjoyment of entertainment is not more important than victims of these
exactly.
people. So I'm okay with going, you know, I really enjoyed that. That's a shame. They're a piece of shit. I don't have to enjoy that anymore. I don't have to stream it. I don't want anyone to get money off of it. I think I'm okay with that. Like, that's
exactly,
fine. You know, so you pick your battles, but like, there's several things that I'm fully okay with not enjoying anymore. It's just like, I'm good with that. So
several things, because several. Humans are garbage,
complete garbage. And the more every day I turn on the TV, or well, it's not even the TV anymore, it's more like social media, I'm like, please don't let another favorite of mine like go down the tube. But you know what, I think you should all rot. You should be accountable for your actions. Like, I mean, sorry, I guess you shouldn't have acted the way that you did. So we'll see. Anyway, excuse me. So here's another one that a TV show that I enjoyed very much that I don't recall the ending of course, because I was a child. It ended when I was in kindergarten. So, ALF. Did you ever watch ALF?
I have like vague memories of ALF, but I don't remember specifics.
Right.
I do remember I had an ALF doll. My dad bought it for me, and I was afraid of it.
He's like strange looking for sure.
I would not be in the same house with it. Like he had to give it to my cousins because I was like, get it out of my life.
Get this thing out of my face.
Yeah. So I must have been a fan of the show for him to like buy me that right. doll. And I mean, I know the premise of the show, but I don't really remember like specifics of it.
Okay. So Alf ran from 86 to 90. So I wasn't even old enough to remember TV, but I assume that I watched either the tail end of it or reruns. You know, I distinctly remember the dad of the family's voice. He had a very distinctive voice. And so the title character, Alf's real name is Gordon Shumway. He was nicknamed Alf. Yeah, Gordon Shumway. He's going to sell you car insurance. He's going right. to sell you an actual car. He's right. really late for his board meeting. Serving you like corporate America realness with that name. So Alf came from alien life form. So they just call him Alf. He crash lands in the garage of a suburban middle class family, last name Tanner, the Tanner family. It's revealed in the first episode that if Alf was captured by the government's alien task force, he would be tortured, put through horrifying tests, and dissected. This is what made the Tanner family agree to keep him hidden in their house and make him a member of their family in the first place, knowing his, you know, imminent death is near if he were captured. During the fun of the sitcom's ensuing seasons, I think the audience totally forgot that Alf was actually hiding from people trying to kill him. I don't recall the dark undertones of the show. I remember it being light and fun. So I think that, again, like dinosaurs, the dark undertones were not really too apparent, especially to children, which I guess is good. But in the last episode of Alf, the alien task force finds Alf. While he's attempting to rejoin his kind on their spaceship, the alien task force captures him and his fellow aliens abandon him. So that leads the audience to believe that he was dissected and killed because that's what the whole fucking premise was. So at the end, he's trying to leave. He's trying to go with his alien friends. They capture him. His alien friends peace the fuck out. So, and then it's just like done. It's done. He's dead. Oh, so he died? I mean, that's what it implies.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember that.
No. What is happening? Why? Is it the same people that are writing
right. this? Like, that what? Seems like it would be.
It's dinosaurs all over. I mean, it's the same. I can't and I won't.
It's like, why wouldn't they make the decision to like have that same plot in the same episode, but at the end he like gets away.
Right.
Like he goes with his family or whatever. Yes.
And they like wave and it's all happy and he's like, mm-hmm. good luck and everybody's happy. No, just get him captured. Are you out of your fucking tree? Also, here's my question. Did they know it was the last episode ever?
Right.
Or did they say, oh my gosh, he's going to get captured. The Tanner family is going to work with the government to get him back. And then he's going to be freed. I don't know. Because, you know, sometimes shows end on a cliffhanger intending to have another season. And then it all falls to shit. So
mm-hmm.
another depressing. Here, I'm here to depress you today.
I'm so depressed.
I'm here to you to change your childhood. It was not as good as we thought. I can't. That's all my words won't come. I'm on a podcast, but I certainly can't talk. Another one in the late 80s, early 90s, show that I loved very much. Once again, I must have blocked all this out. Do you remember the World of David the Gnome?
Yes.
Did you love that show? Because I loved yes. that show.
Loved it. Yes, I love it. It's funny because like when Josh and I want to say it was very early on in our relationship. For some reason, I brought it up, and he was like, yeah, I love that show, like David the Gnome and Swift the Fox.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, my God. And, like, no one I had ever talked to about that show, like, remembered it. So I was right. like, oh, my God, you remember that show?
I know.
And we occasionally still talk about it.
It was such a cute show.
I also occasionally watch the, like, opening yes. credit theme on YouTube.
Because I can't recall it right now, but if I play the first opening, I'll know the whole thing. Because I've done this before, like, oh, my God, and I knew the words still, which is crazy because it's been 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember things that I did yesterday, but the long-term memory stuff is so crazy because I can mm-hmm. pull something up and be like, oh, this is what happens, like, Well, for instance, my husband and I watched Blank Check recently, like in the last year with the kids. And I remembered like the name of the lady at the bank and what happens next. And he goes and buys this stuff. And he's like, you don't remember anything. How this is incredible. Your memory for like useless 90s movie facts. Or like I said, but if you've watched a movie 100 times as a child, you'll never forget it. So Blank Check is one of those for me. But so David the Gnome. It was, I forget, there were two different sources that said it was, like, originally two different countries, like, cartoon. And then it came to the U.S. in 87. So, it was, it aired Sundays on Nickelodeon. And it was part of Nick Jr. at one point when it was created, like, shortly, I think, I forget when Nick Jr., we talked about that. But Nick Jr. was created, it was, that was thrown in the lineup, and then it aired until 1996. It aired on other channels as part of their kids lineup as well. So if you didn't have Nickelodeon and you're like, I know I saw this, you probably saw it somewhere because they'd air it all over the place. It was
everywhere. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So because I guess because it wasn't like original content, they probably just got it from whatever. So David the Gnome was a very cute show, but it takes a dark turn in the final episode when the main character faced a sudden death. While most episodes featured a pair of gnomes and a fox helping forest creatures, teaching children charming lessons, this one took us down the dark path, where we learn that all gnomes have to die at 400 years old, and our friends were 399 years old throughout the series. The final episode follows the gnomes to the mountains where they will die. They journey to the mountains of beyond. They die, they turn into trees, and leave their fox friend all alone. Excuse me.
Poor Swift.
Swift is left to fend for his goddamn self. Do you remember that at all? I don't.
I want to say vaguely, like vaguely.
Right. I remember it being a fun, lighthearted show. I do not recall us wandering off into the mountains to die. Again, what is the point?
Right.
Here we are again at the same conversation. Why, Jesus? Why are we letting our characters just die? Just die. That's fine. I mean,
it's like, are they trying to teach children about death?
Right. And did they warn anybody?
Right.
I just,
well, I guess dinosaurs did.
They sure did. Well, they're like, we don't exist now. We're going to show you what happened.
And right.
Apparently a puppet named, what was it? Walter Hand Up Me or whatever the hell is going to tell you, on a newscast that they died. That's not how the dinosaurs died, first of all.
No.
Nobody was on the news telling anybody anything. There was no news.
That we know of.
That we know of. I don't recall, personally, and right. I've never seen evidence of it. So David the Gnome fell to shit, just like the rest of these. Here's one that I particularly remember that I've watched several times, and I still find it to be extremely bizarre. The last episode in two-part series, I believe, of Full House. Do you remember the last episode of Full House?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Which is so weird because, like, I know Full House. Like, yeah. I remember Full House, but it's like, I don't know what the finale was.
Okay. You will when I say it, I think, because I feel like you have enough knowledge. You may not realize that's the last episode.
Right.
But because, you'll know, yeah, what I'm talking about.
I've watched a lot of reruns and they like, yes, run out of order.
They do. They do. Yeah. It's like you're in 88 and then you're back at like when DJ's in high school. And I'm like, hold on a second. 5 minutes ago, she had the big hair and like the feathered and no. So it ran, the original Full House show ran 1987 to 1995. So the finale of Full House was such a weird mess. Okay. The 90s were full of Olsen twin everything like we talked about before. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. I love them. I love them. Love them. I think that they're wildly successful now, but I really think Full House broke those kids.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And maybe not Full House, but they're at Olsen everything 90s, and where they were just cranking out material and products and books and mystery series. And then they did like the New York Minute era. And like, I feel like those girls, last episode or episodes, Michelle lost her memory in the horseback.
Okay, I did not know this was the finale. Yes. I know that episode. Yes,
you know it well. It's iconic. It really is. She loses her memory in a horseback riding accident, only to have the family come together to remind her who she is and how they all love her so much. It featured another 90s trope where we've talked about a million times, Michelle talked to herself in a mirror and both twins were on the screen at once, which we know has been done multiple times, except for this is a very different one. She didn't have a brown wig on. She was just Michelle looking at herself right. in a mirror. So that was the weird ending of that show because nobody like died, but it was still like a really dark turn where Michelle had a bad accident and the sad music played. And then everyone shows up to remind her who she is. Excuse me. And they like just brought her home with no memory. And like, I'm like, is that protocol? Like, do you,
right.
I don't know how this happens.
Don't you need more tests?
Yeah. Is nobody going to like, is she concussed or like what's, and you know, what's so funny if you think about it is that in all these 90s shows, people lost their memory all the time as if that's like normal. And nobody was treated for like concussion, traumatic brain injury. Like nobody was actually treated in a medical sense of like, we need to watch her for these signs. We need to make sure she's not vomiting, experiencing, you know, keep her off of screens, which back then there weren't like phones or tablets, but she, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just such an odd thing. Like, I've lost my memory. I don't remember any of my family, but I'm still coherent and fine and know there's no other symptoms. That's so weird to me, which is such a stupid thing to worry about. That's the shit I think about when I see this. I'm like, don't y'all have like a better protocol for this? And you just forgot your memory. Like, who am I? Who are you? Like, very Wizard of Oz.
Basically. Right.
So that's the last episode of Full House, which I forgot was the last episode because it does seem like just a regular episode. It's very odd. And you know what's weird is Fuller House addresses Michelle not being around in a funny way. So like some, I think they even pan to the camera, like fourth wall it a little bit and they're like, oh, right. you know, whatever. But it's like, did nobody address like her head injury? They should have just right. played it from that. Like she doesn't remember any of us to this day and she couldn't come back. I just thought about that. I'm like, why didn't they play it up to be like, you know, Michelle couldn't, she can't be here because she never recalls who we are and has no connection with us on that level anymore.
Right.
That would have been hilarious. Perfect.
Yeah.
That would have been perfect because then that would explain why the Olsen twins wanted nothing to do with it. Play that Michelle storyline up of she doesn't recall who we are. That's stupid. I just made myself laugh. Oh, boy.
Well, I'm sure, you know, fans of the show would appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. And it would make sense. So, but as we know, nothing makes sense in the sitcom world. And then my final one is more of like late 90s to 2006. So 98 to 2006, Will and Grace aired, which is one of my all-time favorite shows. And it did not end with Will and Grace being friends anymore. They were no longer friends, which was so fucking stupid. So, the entirety of season eight was really tough to watch. So Grace breaks up with her cheating husband, Leo, and discovers she's pregnant. So she decided she wanted to raise the baby with her best friend, Will. And it put a wrench in Will's future plans with like his boyfriend, Vince. So Grace decides to reunite with Leo instead at some point, and it destroys her relationship with Will. And then they barely speak to each other for 20 years. They drift apart. They raise their own families. Grace and Leo had a daughter named Layla. Will and Vince had a son named Ben. And Will and Grace don't reconcile until their children cross path at college, mirroring the way Will and Grace first met. And then eventually Layla and Ben got married. But Jack and Karen, meanwhile, decide to be platonic soulmates. And Jack becomes suddenly wealthy and Karen doesn't have a dime to her name, which is the opposite of the entire show. So that's the stupidest bullshit I've ever heard in my entire fucking life. Because again, it follows, it's just like a what if, like, oh my God, wouldn't it be funny if the total opposite thing happened? Like, oh, right. Roseanne's family gets rich. Karen on Will and Grace loses all her money. Jack is wealthy. This person, that person. It's just like all this role reversal bullshit that is played out. Like, I don't get it.
I actually never watched Will and Grace, but just when shows in general do that, it's so fucking stupid because it's like you've built like however many seasons yeah. like of, you know, this story or central plot or whatever. And then to just go against that in like the last couple episodes, it's like, why? That does not service your show.
No, it doesn't make any sense at all. Luckily, the good thing about Will and Grace is that it does, it got rebooted. This is a reboot that is, in my opinion, just as good, if not better, than the original show. It is so funny. I've rewatched episodes of the reboot because it's that funny to me. Like, it is cute. It is, like, very lighthearted. It is, I mean, there's some undertones of, like, a little tension, you know, but they completely negated the finale, though. Mm-hmm. So, like, they dismissed all of it. It is an absolute delight. So they cancel all that bullshit of, like, oh my God, I married this person, you were this person, we have all these children. It negates the entire last part of the show. I don't know if it negates season 8 in general or just the finale, but anyway, the whole point of this is to say, watch Will and Grace's reboot out of all these things that I've mentioned, because it is a fucking delight. What's the guy, Sean Hayes, that plays Jack, is one of the funniest people. Megan Mullally, of course, is a genius as Karen Walker. Like, the whole thing is mm-hmm. hilarious. It's so worth watching. Even if you've never watched, you don't even have to watch the original to see these. Like, these, the reboot is so cute. It's so funny. Nobody's lost their chemistry or their spark. It's very, very good. There's a couple of other celebrity, like, cameos. They bring back some of, like, references to the original series, but, like, Fuller House was more of a project, I think, that brought back every nostalgic thing you could think of, whereas mm-hmm. Will and Grace is almost a continuance of the show. Like, it never left. And so both are fun. Both reboots are fun. Fuller House. Did you watch Fuller House?
I watched the first season.
It's very silly. Like, it's mm-hmm. very, very silly, but it is lighthearted and it is fun. And I think they're finishing wrapping their very last one, but anyway, very cute. I don't know if Will and Grace is going to do another season of their reboot or not, or they might do one, I don't know, but I enjoy a reboot when done correctly. Mm-hmm. And I really don't enjoy when these shows end like they do. Taking, you know, this left turn off of, like, everything you've watched for however many seasons is bullshit. Mm-hmm. Can you think of any shows that you felt like took a real hard left or anything that you're just like, what the fuck happened? Besides our beloved Game of Thrones, which...
Right.
And fuck some that. People will argue that it was so great and that, oh, well, this
well,
is
Well, those people are wrong.
They're wrong.
They're just wrong.
You're incorrect.
Yeah, not off, like, the top of my head. I don't know. The show that I think had the best series finale of all time is 6 Feet Under.
I need to watch that, and I'll tell you why. Because I started it, and it's, you know, because some of these shows are a little, like, dated now or whatever. Mm-hmm. But everyone that I've ever talked to says 6 Feet Under is so important. You have mm-hmm. to watch it. So now that you've said that, I've definitely got to, like, pick up and watch it. Because I love every actor that's in it. So
it's an amazing show. I've watched it all the way through twice. I want to watch it again, but I literally don't know if I emotionally can.
Is that one of the shows that you're, like, not prepared to watch again?
No, I'm not. It's every episode is, like, so depressing, but right. so good. Like, ugh. Yeah.
I was listening to an interview with Peter Krause yesterday. Whoops. And I thought his last name was Krause.
So did I.
It's Krause. First of all, that's silly. I don't know what nationality or, like, what background that comes from, what origin that is. It's cool though, Krause. But it sounds like wowza, and it makes me laugh every time.
Wowza.
But he's so attractive. I find him so attractive. He's in the show 9-1-1. I don't know if you watch that. It's Ryan Murphy's. Mm-mm. Oh, that's a good show. I know our friend Emily. Emily with a Y, not Emily with an EE. Mm-hmm. She likes that show too. That is a very good show. And he's in that. And I loved Parenthood. Mm-hmm. I think Parenthood is probably one of the best all time shows ever. One show I'm not ready, like, emotionally prepared to watch and have not since it ended several years ago was Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
It was one of those. Did you watch Sons of Anarchy?
Oh yeah.
Do you think you're emotionally prepared to start that over at any point?
I don't know. I don't think so. It's like that show, dude, I went through a phase where I was so obsessed with that show. Like, so obsessed. Like, and everyone I worked with was too. So, like, I would go to work and that is, like, all we would talk about.
Yes.
Like, when certain characters died, like,
oh my God.
Holy shit.
It
Opie.
Was. Yeah. I love you, Opie. I think he is so hot that I can't process it. I find him that greasy ass. I don't know. Never in my life would I approach a man that is like a big, tall, long hair grease. Like, that's not really something I'm super into, but apparently I am, because I find that guy so hot. I follow him on Instagram. What's his name? Or on
Ryan Twitter. Hurst.
Ryan Hurst. Yeah. He's like Rambo Donkey Kong or something on Twitter.
That's funny.
And someone posted a picture with him yesterday and I was like, he's so attractive. But that one, I don't think I could watch again right now. And I don't know that I want to, because I don't want to pick up on any other single detail at this point. Like, I want to remember it how I remember it. And I don't, that show was so beautifully done. And that's what television's about right there, is that it moves you through all the emotions. You get so sucked in that it's all you can think about. I think that was just so beautifully done that it couldn't have done any other way. Like, no, you didn't want a bunch of people to die in a show you care about, but when they do, you understand why. That's what I want out of a television show, is like, I get it. I get why this had to happen. It moves the story along a certain way. Unlike Game of Thrones. I'm sorry. I keep coming back to it. I wish somebody would have been watching me watch the last episode of that, because I think I did watch it with my husband, but I just sat and looked at him, looked at the TV, looked back at him. I couldn't stop staring. Like, I didn't, I just kept going, really, really, is this what's happening? And I hate that feeling of like, whew, I've wasted a lot of time watching this show.
The whole last season, oh my God. After every episode, I would just bitch. Like, yes. Oh my God, this is literally terrible. Like, I can't believe they think this is acceptable.
Right.
And I don't want to take away from the people who, like, worked on that show. Right. Because obviously they put so much work into it. And, like, I love the cast, you know. So nothing against them. It's just the writers are fucking terrible. Yeah. I shun them.
Yes.
And yeah, like, after every episode, I would just be so angry. And then I would, like, watch videos about it. And there would be a live stream from a YouTuber that I watched that did Game of Thrones videos. So I would, like, watch that until, like, 1 a.m. and just be angry. Mm-hmm. Like, I would just be so angry.
Yeah. I even watched the documentary about the last season. And you know what? It appeared to me that everyone was working so hard. They really were.
Mm-hmm.
But they were so tired. They were so ready for it to be done, but so sad that it was ending. And that's got to be really hard on everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to go home to their families. It's fucking cold. It's, you know, night shoot after night shoot. Everyone looked fucking exhausted.
They did.
And I just, man, that was a wild fucking ride. But, you know, television is a part of our culture. It's such a, for me, it's an important thing, because it's escapism in a healthy way. I don't think that there's anything wrong about really loving a television show, as long as you don't, like, I don't know, start carrying a sword and thinking you're in Game of Thrones or hurting people. Because, you know, we hear that, well, video games and television made these people do this. No, no. Something Bullshit. Else. Yeah, something else in their brain made them do that. That's why I worry, because I'm a mom, you know, so I worry about my child. And I'm like, you know, this isn't real, right? And he looks at me like, why would I ever think any of this is real? And I'm like, you have to understand that there are kids out there that play violent video games or do certain things, and they really detach from reality. And I said, there's a fine line from like enjoying something and knowing this is fantasy and knowing that you really can't act that way in public, and seeing something on television that you realize they're actors, this is not real. And I try to stress that to my kid, because you just don't, you know, you don't know. But the point of that is, you know, watching television, getting sucked into these fantasy worlds and realizing that's a cool story you can carry with you and be like, wow, that was amazing, as opposed to like acting on it. But then you get all these shows that you're like, I did get sucked in and it ended weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the fun, lighthearted, like 90s cartoons and the puppets and the, I guess we're all just going to that's weird too, though, because Alf was a puppet. And so was the dinosaur thing, and they ended those poor puppets. Like,
yeah,
put them in the incinerator and moved on.
Yeah,
Jesus,
they're like, we hate puppets now.
We fuck these puppets. Like, I don't understand. Did you just like get tired of being a puppeteer? And you just, who are these people that are doing this? I don't know.
But yeah, Jim Henson would never do that.
He would roll over in his grave. Bullshit. Yeah, I'm like, where's Jim Henson when you need him? Jeez, yeah. Louise, what has happened? But yeah, that's just our silly little topic this week, because we're getting back in the groove of recording and we've slowed down traveling. Of course, you're leaving in a few weeks too, but that's what you can do when you're a traveler. That's fun times. And then we can talk about how fun that was.
Yes.
Because you're going out and experiencing life and old-timey dive helmets.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll see if I make it down there.
Yeah, we'll see. Any recommendations? Anything you have read or that you enjoyed over this little break that we've had?
Not that I can think of.
You've just been traveling, moving, and yeah.
I do have like a quick story, or it's not even a story. It's whatever. So speaking of the 90s, last week, Michelle, Josh, and I went to 90s teen movie trivia.
Ooh, how did that go?
Dude, we kicked so much ass. I was literally like, it wasn't even a competition. I was like, feeling like a badass bitch. I'm like, I know all these things. But then I was like, wait, this doesn't make me cool.
I mean, it kind of does, but it makes you cool to all the right people, if that makes sense. So, like, maybe you're like, am I lame as fuck? I don't know. To some people, it's all perception. I find you very cool. I'm sure you guys, I would have loved to have witnessed that. That sounds super fun, and that I think you should have kicked all their asses. It's like when my friend Sam and I went to Mean Girls Trivia, we fully kicked ass for the whole time, but then the question of what were the tables in the cafeteria on that map.
Oh, God.
But the thing is, we answered a lot of them, but the answer that the person running it had was wrong, because we could Google it after the round was over, and we're like, that wasn't right either. So technically, I feel like we got pretty high up on the scoreboard, so I feel like we were robbed, but we knew... Anything I knew that she didn't, she knew that I, you know, it was the, we complimented each other pretty well.
That's how it was with Michelle, Josh, and I. Like, yes. We all participated. I was like, yes, this is a good
dynamic. Yeah, Michelle's a very valuable resource on things like that. She knows a lot about a lot. So, very cool. We should try to do more trivia things. They're fun.
I think so. Yeah, I really enjoy doing it, except I get so nervous for some reason.
I do too. I feel like somebody's gonna like take something from me if I don't. I'm like,
they're gonna like think I'm stupid,
right?
Or if I get something wrong.
And then you look around and you're like, we're all stupid. What are we doing? We're doing
I was trivia. Like getting so stressed out. I'm like, I don't know if these answers are right. Like when you would turn in your answers and then you're like waiting for her to check them or whatever.
Yes.
I'm like, this is so stressful. I need to leave. Josh was like, this is literally a no pressure situation. Like, calm down.
Makes you feel like you're getting a bad grade or something. Yeah. Like, I'm back in school. I've turned in the test. I'm going to fail this class if I get these wrong. Yeah. Test taking of any sort, even if it's fun trivia for literally no score technically in real life, I'm like, no, I'm sweating. We got it wrong. What if I should have answered it like this? Like, that is silly.
You're like, I regret my answer.
Yeah, that's what our American school systems do to you.
Yeah, no shit.
Because we're grown ups and we're still like, I'm late. I'm late for the test. I dream about it all the time. So, yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. Other than our little travels, you and I have both been on vacations or done things this summer. I did read, on vacation, I read a book by Delia Owens. It's called Where the Crawdads Sing.
Oh, I read that.
Did you read it? What did you think of it? I actually loved it.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really good.
It's good.
Then, of course, like, I read the reviews because, like, I use Goodreads to, like, track everything, whatever. And then I read the reviews and people are like, this book is so, like, improbable. This would never happen in real life. And I'm like... Suspension of disbelief, people.
Right. And also, how do you know that? You know what I mean?
Right.
This book was very good. And to me, the importance of this book was, like, it stuck with me. And it might have been because I read it on the beach and I had no distractions and I'm watching nature as I'm reading a book that is very tied into nature, and how important it is to, like, take the time to be aware of your surroundings. I was very sucked in. And not because there's a murder mystery tied into it, because I felt like that was a very small piece of it. It was more about connection and loneliness and abandonment. And it was beautifully written. You could feel her loneliness. Mm-hmm. It was visceral. And this woman, this is her first fiction novel.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in her 60s. I think she's like 62 years old. So I found this shell when I was in Florida. While I was reading this book that had a perfect circle in the very end of it. And I made a little necklace out of it, a little shell necklace. And a shell necklace is important in this book. And I just carried it with me because it was like a cool connection to, like, you were at the beach. You're okay. When you go back to your job that has nothing to do with fun, You know, you can take this, even though that's a symbol of like not such a great thing in the book, but it's just like, it was a cool book to read. I recommend it to anybody who needs to take a second to like realize the beauty in nature and like also the fact that we need each other. People need people, and we shouldn't abandon people and leave them out there by themselves. So read Where the Crawdads Sing.
Yes, it was very good.
So good. I'm glad we both read it because I was so excited to read it. And a girl actually stopped me in Florida and was like, I'm sorry to bother you, but I just read that and it's so good. And it's about connection in general. You know, somebody saw me reading it and stopped me and had a conversation. So entertainment brings us together.
Yes.
To tie this up. So be entertained by our sweet little podcast. Read books. Talk to each other. Be nice. Review us and be nice. give us a good review for fun. It's nice to read those. Those are funny. Some people are very funny. Don't be mean. At Shallow Dive Pod on Instagram and Twitter, and at Gmail as well. If you have comments, questions, suggestions, there's been some true crime suggestions here and there that we'll get to. There's some local cases and some not so local cases we'll probably talk about at some point. And we're going to try to keep it light here and there too, because it's like a bummer to talk about sad stuff all the time. But today was kind of a bummer because all of our shows ended like shit. So.
Right. But yeah, I definitely feel like maybe the next couple episodes or whatever should be, you know, maybe some of the darker stuff, because I will say, like, even though it's only August 11th, in my mind, it's like spooky season.
It's
like getting there. It's getting
time.
There.
Yeah.
So we're going to die. Spooky season for me definitely starts now.
It's now. Like August 1st.
If there's a pumpkin something in a store, it's spooky season.
Yep, it's spooky season. The Halloween decorations are out. The pumpkin spice latte is coming back, I think, next week on the 16th. I'm not sure. They're bringing it real early. Y'all better get ready for basic bitch season. It's time.
I'm here for it.
I'm here for it. I'm there for it. I'm anywhere you want for it.
I'm here and there for it.
I'm here and there. And we will pump up the spooky for the rest of this season, which will probably last until November at this point. we are spooky bitches and we are ready. So be ready for that. If you have suggestions and you're like, man, you need to cover this case, this is wild, this is spooky, this is unexplained, send us your suggestions.
Yeah.
All right. So until next time, bye.
Bye.